Good evening, everyone. We want to welcome you to this gospel service tonight. In the Saviour's name, we're glad of your presence with us at our carols and scripture reading service. We're going to commence as we sing together the words of the hymn number 79. O come all ye faithful, joyfully triumphant, to Bethlehem hasten, now with glad accord. Lo, in a manger lies the King of angels. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. So it's number 79. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4. We're leaving out the third verse. And we're going to ask you to stand as we sing together, please. Just bow together in a brief word of opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence, conscious that we're entering into the very throne room of the sovereign God of all the universe. We're mindful, Father, of your great power. We're mindful, Father, that by your great power you've made all things and you've made us. We remember that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And Lord, we bow before thee tonight, even in the words that we have sung together. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. We're gathered in your house, Father, that we might worship thee and give to thee alone the praise and the adoration of our hearts. We pray, Father, from the very beginning that that spirit of worship will be evident in this meeting, found in our hearts. We pray, Father, for a greater desire for communion with thee, our God, We ask thee to draw us closer to thyself. Lord, we want to pray for those in our congregation, those in our families that are out of Christ. We remember too the children, the young people that attend the Sunday school and the bright hours. Oh God, we ask that even at this Christmas time you would speak to their hearts, even through the messages that they've heard from the Word of God and the verses that they've been taught, the memory verses. We thank you, Father, that you're able to speak on even when those meetings are over. We pray, Father, that the workers might hear stories and reports of those that have been spoken to and brought to Christ. Pray, too, that through them, that even family members would be challenged about the things of God. Remember when our Saviour was born, there was no room for him, no room in the inn. And Lord, we're conscious of so many, even in our land at this time, as they think of this season, that they have room for business, room for pleasure, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in their hearts for which he died. We're asking, Father, that you would speak to hearts. We pray that many men and women, even at this Christmas time, who have forgotten the things of God, that you would challenge them. Pray that by events and circumstances, that you would bring before them their need of Christ, the issues of their soul, the great issues of eternity. We pray, Father, in this meeting, that you'll take away from our hearts the thoughts of the things of this world. And we pray that you'll help us to fix our thoughts for a little while, even upon eternity. We do thank you for the birth of the Lord Jesus. We rejoice in the coming of the Saviour into this world. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The apostle could say, of whom I am chief. And Lord, we rejoice. We praise thee tonight for the birth of the one who was and is the Saviour of the world. And we pray that he might save in our midst, even this night. And we pray that Christ will display his saving power mightily, even all across this land of ours. Thank you for youth fellowship, for the meetings that they've held right throughout this year. We thank you for the faithful attendance of the young people, for your hand upon the meetings, for adding to them the increase, Father, that you've been pleased to give, even an answer to prayer, for helping Matthew and Hannah as they've led those meetings and arranged them. And we pray that you'll continue to help them and encourage them. We pray that you might add even further to the youth fellowship as they meet in the new year. We commit them to thee, those who will participate in the service tonight. Take away fear and nervousness from them. We pray for the help of God right throughout this service tonight. Pray that each one that comes forward to read the Word of God, that you'll use them. The hand of God will be upon them. We pray, Father, that you'll speak to us even through the reading of the Scriptures. Remember that you've told us that your Word is not bound, and our prayer is that we might feel the power of your Word, hear your voice. We pray that you'll open the Scriptures to our hearts and minds, even as it is read to us by the young people tonight. So answer these our prayers. We come now to commit our way just unto thyself, praying that you'll go before us and lead us through this meeting. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are delighted to have our youth fellowship with us, or a good number of the young people. Some are unable to be here tonight and we miss their presence, but we're very thankful to have such a good number of the young people gathered. We appreciate their willingness to participate in the service tonight, what we describe as our carols and scripture readings. There's seven portions of the Word of God that the young people are going to read to us tonight that tell the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus. And in between those readings, we will sing some of the carols, sing a few verses of various carols that are found in our hymn books. So the first reading this evening is going to be brought by James Craig, and he's going to read to us about the prophet foretelling the birth of the Lord Jesus. So James, we'll ask you to come and commence the program for us, please.
The first reading's from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 to 7. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as one was in her vexation, when at the first he highly afflicted the land of the Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, and the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every bowel of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Thank you very much. We're going to sing together four verses of the hymn number 80, penned by Mrs. Cecil Frances Alexander. Her husband William, 100 years ago and more, was the Archbishop of Armagh here in this city. Once in Royal David's city stood a lowly cattle shed where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. So verses 1, 2, 5 and 6, we're leaving out the middle 2, 3 and 4, and we're going to ask you to stand again as we sing, please.
Amen.
Daniel Huffy is going to come and read to us the passage that tells us about the angel announcing the birth to Joseph. So Daniel, please.
The Bible reading is taken from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Thank you very much, Daniel. Number 83, please. As with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold. We're remaining seated to sing verses 1, 3 and 5, please. To hear about the angel appearing to Mary, that's the angel Gabriel, and that portion is going to be read to us by John Craig. So John, please.
The reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. And in the sixth month, this angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou amongst women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob for ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this was the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her.
Thank you, John. See in yonder manger low, born for us on earth below. See the Lamb of God appears, promised from eternal years. The hymn number 81, just the first three verses, and again we'll remain seated as we sing Place. Going to hear the details of Joseph and Mary going to Bethlehem, and that passage is going to be read for us tonight by Max Hanna.
This Bible reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of his city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his opposed wife, being great with child. And so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you very much. So we take a moment just to welcome you all to the service tonight in the Saviour's name. We thank you sincerely for your presence with us. To any that might be visiting with us, we want to give to you a personal and a special word of welcome. Pray that you'll be blessed in the service tonight. It's good to have the children and all of the young people that are gathered with us this evening. We're always encouraged by your presence, and we want to thank those that have taken time to listen to the service on the live stream this evening as well. Remember, the meetings in the will of the Lord in the week ahead, tomorrow morning at 10, is the parent and toddler group downstairs in the church hall. That is the last parent and toddler group of this year. Please make that known, the service or the meeting in the morning, and also the break just into the new year as well. Remember then, Wednesday night, the midweek meeting at 8 o'clock downstairs in the church hall. And I'll be here to lead and to preach at that service in the will of the Lord. Then next Lord's Day is the 24th of December, Christmas Eve. Our Sunday school at 10:40 in the morning, the Sunday school and Bible classes. 11:30 the morning service, 6:30 p.m. the evening gospel meeting. I'll be preaching at the morning service myself. The evening meeting will be our Christmas carol service. The program been brought to us by the Sunday School. They have been spending a lot of time recently in practice and preparation for that. So we're looking forward to their participation next Sabbath evening. Miss Noreen McAfee, missionary to Uganda, who's home just at present, in the will of the Lord, will be coming to be our speaker at that special service next Sunday night. So we're looking forward to that as well. Do tell others about that meeting. Take it as an opportunity to invite your family and friends along to the house of the Lord. There will be supper for everyone after the carol service in the hall. So we ask the ladies if you can again help us, please, with the food for the supper. And please do remember the seasons of prayer before both services. Remember the senior citizens' gifts that are in the porch. If you haven't received yours as yet, we encourage you to take it as you're leaving the service tonight. And remember, if you can help, take a gift for your family members or your neighbours. That would be a great help to us. We would appreciate that very much indeed. Remember the free will offering envelopes for 2024. See our brother, Mr. Billy Hill, if you haven't received yours just as yet. And if you would like to sign up for the free will offering envelopes scheme, speak to Billy about that as well. Take time to look at all of the literature, the calendars, the magazines, the flyers and so on that are on the counter just as you come into the porch, and the table here at the other door also. Remember, there's still some copies of Dr. Douglas's new book on the land of Israel that was launched just at the end of last month. Copies are £5 if you would like one of those for a gift for some of your family or friends. Remember that next Lord's Day we're taking our special Christmas missionary offering for the Bible Spreading Union in England to help them in the purchase of Bible or providing of grants for Bibles to help churches and missionary organisations and the distribution of the Word of God. We encourage you to give as liberally as you can to that, and mark the envelope for your gift for the Bible Spreading Union, or BSU. Remember that on Wednesday morning, Noel Shields and Colin Maxwell will be down in Armagh City, and they're going to be there to conduct an open air, to do some outreach. We appreciate the work that they do. We want to be in prayer for them, and we encourage you, if you see them engaged in that outreach, to take time to speak to them, even stand with them if you can, to give them some support. Our brother Norman Kerr was taken into hospital today. He experienced some shortness of breath and low blood pressure, so do remember Norman. The Lord's hand will be upon him. Remember Sister Florence, that she'll know the healing touch of the Lord. And also Stephanie's mum, Mrs. Telford, in hospital, would appreciate your prayers as well for a speedy recovery just at this time. The next scripture reading is going to be brought by Matthew Muldrew, one of our youth leaders. And Matthew is going to read about the visit of the shepherds.
If you're following along in your Bible, this reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Thank you very much. Charles Wesley's great Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King, Peace on Earth and Mercy Mild, God and Sinners Reconciled. The first two verses of number 76, and we'll ask you to stand as we sing together, please.
Mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled.
Jonathan Irwin's going to come on to read to us about the coming of the wise men. Jonathan.
This reading will be in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ would be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privy called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
Thank you very much. While shepherds watched their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around. We'll remain seated and sing the first four verses of this hymn number 82 together, please. The final reading is a description of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ And that portion is going to be read for us tonight by Hannah Carson, the other of our youth leaders. Thank you, Hannah.
This reading is taken from the Gospel of John, beginning to read in chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thank you. We know the Lord will add his blessing tonight to all of these readings, the public readings of his word, to all of our hearts. We sincerely thank all of the young people for their presence tonight. We thank all that have taken part in the service. We're going to ask you just to give them all a wee round of applause, just to encourage them. We want to thank them as well for their faithful support of the youth meetings right throughout the year. It has been encouraging just to see the numbers that have increased. We know that has encouraged Matthew and Hannah. We appreciate their leadership of the youth fellowship. We want to thank them for the time that they give to that and for all of their work in arranging and conducting the meetings. Continue to remember Matthew, that the Lord will keep us good hand upon him, and remember Hannah too, as she's making plans for that special wedding day next summer. So keep them both in your prayers as well. But we thank you all for taking part tonight and the blessing that you've been, the reading of the scriptures at our hearts that has so clearly set forth all of the details relating to the birth of the Lord Jesus. We'll take a moment just to pray. We'll seek the Lord's face. Father, we praise thee for the service tonight. Thank you for the young people. Remember that Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. We want to pray that you'll bless all of these young people. We rejoice in their presence with us tonight. Pray that each one of them will know Christ and be walking with him, be an example of the believers, even to others in the church, and in the places where they study, the places where they labour. We ask thee, Father, to use them. We pray you'll guide them for the future. May it please thee, Father, even to speak to some of these young people and to call them into the service of Christ, even to surrender and dedicate their lives to the great work of the gospel. We want to pray, Father, you'll bless our congregation through these young people, even as we think of the future. In the carrying on of this witness, we're conscious, Father, of the great need of young families and young people in our midst. And we ask thee to hear our cries tonight, even to that end. We think of the words that were read just at the end. The Word was made flesh and dwelt or tabernacled amongst us. And Lord, we ask thee, come and tabernacle with us, be in our midst in the closing minutes of this gospel service. As we consider your word, we pray for help to be given, liberty to be known in the preaching of it. And we pray that you'll speak to hearts in this service and the hearts of those that are listening to the broadcast as well. answer these our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. One verse I'd invite you to turn to. It was in the portion that Matthew read to us, Luke chapter 2 and the words of verse 14. Luke 2 verse 14, where it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Think of the words especially in the middle of the verse, "and on earth peace." I want to emphasize those words to you especially this evening. We're going to think of the subject of peace at Christmas. It's interesting that on the first Christmas day of World War I, that was the 25th of December 1914, something really, really amazing happened. What took place was that both the British and the German troops laid down their arms, and they celebrated Christmas on that day together. And they celebrated Christmas in what is described as the no man's land between the trenches. The war, or the hostilities between the nations, came to a halt, and it came to a halt for that one day. And during that Christmas day, soldiers exchanged gifts. They gave each other gifts such as jam and sausage and chocolate, all the things that we're familiar with as well in the day in which we live. And they also exchanged names and addresses. The idea of that was they intended to correspond with each other after the war was over. They also played football between the shell holes and the barbed wire. There wouldn't have been much level space for them to do that, but as best that they were able, they enjoyed a little bit of football together. And they paid visits into each other's trenches just to see what the conditions were like for the enemy. One of those soldiers, Private Oswald Tilley, he was a member of the London Rifle Brigade. He wrote home to his parents of what took place on that day. And in part of the letter he said, "Just think that while you were eating your turkey, etc., I was talking and shaking hands with the very men I had been trying to kill just a few hours before." It was astounding. So all along the trenches on that Christmas day, soldiers found their enemies were just much like themselves. And some of them began asking why they should be fighting, why they should be killing each other at all. Whenever the generals heard of what had happened or what was happening, they were shocked. High command diaries and statements expressed great anxiety that if this continued, men will lose the will to fight. That day, the 25th day of December 1914, that has been called or described the most famous truce in military history. There was peace on earth, if only but for one day. There is a lot of talk of world peace in the days in which we are found, especially with those major conflicts that are continuing in Ukraine and Israel. I want to assure you tonight, men and women, that world peace will take place. And it will take place at the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. At this season of the year, we're thinking of his first advent, his first coming into this world. But think a little further, a little into the future, and consider for a moment the second coming. I will come again. I want to assure you tonight that the Lord Jesus has not failed in the purpose that is stated in this text. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Notice the words carefully. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. He has not failed in that purpose. It will be fulfilled, and it will be fulfilled when he comes when he returns again the second time. That is the teaching of the Word of God. The psalmist, Psalm 46, those words that are so familiar to us, we love to sing them together. It says in Psalm 46, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. It's not quite a statement. All across the earth, from one end of the earth, one end of the globe to the other, wars will cease. That's speaking, men and women, not of the current age, the current day, in which we're found that's only too obvious. You only have to listen to the reports of the news. That's speaking of a future day. That psalm is foretelling what will happen during the reign of Christ when he comes to reign on this earth at Jerusalem and to reign for 1,000 years. The psalmist again said in his days, that is in the days of Christ, in the days of Messiah, Israel's Messiah, in his days shall righteousness flourish and abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth. Isn't that tremendous? Christ is coming to bring not just peace, but an abundance of peace to this troubled world in which we are found. Whenever the Saviour returns, men and women, Isaiah's prophecy will be fulfilled. Those words in Isaiah 2 verse 4, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up their sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. Just think of those words. Swords beaten into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks, weapons of war been turned into instruments of agriculture. Neither shall they lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. So men and women, there will be world peace. There will be peace on earth, not just for a day, as it was back in 1914. There will be peace on earth for 1,000 years, whenever our Saviour comes again to reign. But let me ask you tonight personally, what of you and what of your world? Is there peace in your world? Is there peace in your life? Is there peace in your home? Can you say tonight that there's peace in your heart, especially as this special season of the year, this Christmas time, approaches once again? Do you remember what H.G. Wells, the famous English writer, once said? One of the books that he is famed for penning is The Time Machine. But it was H.G. Wells that said, here I am at 65, and I'm still searching for peace. And maybe that describes you tonight. Maybe that sums up someone in the service. You are, and whatever age you might be, but you're still searching. You're still longing, still looking for peace in your heart and in your life. How sad that is, men and women. Maybe you have a good home, a good job. You have a very good income. You have a lovely family, great prospects in life. But no peace. There's that void, that vacuum in your heart. You don't have the peace of God, and you don't have peace with God. And maybe you've tried very hard to find it, to obtain it. You've tried to drink. Maybe you've tried the drugs, all the pleasures of life and of this world. Maybe tried religion too. Everything the world has to offer. And yet still you're miserable. Still no rest. Still there's no peace in your heart. If that's your condition tonight, then we have a message for you. In fact, we have some good news. We have the best news that you will ever hear. And the news is that you can have peace. You can have peace this Christmas. You don't need to despair. And you can have it through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Let me emphasize to you that peace is one of the blessings of the gospel. It is one of the blessings
of his salvation. One of the blessings that those who have received Christ and received his salvation will obtain and will experience. Remember, Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. That title was found in the first reading from Isaiah 9 that came to us tonight. He is the Prince of Peace. Remember that he came to bring peace. That's what our text is telling us. And on earth, peace. That's a great study. The reasons, the purpose, the purposes for which Christ came. The reason why he was born, that his incarnation took place. And one is, he came to bring peace. He came to bring peace to this world and to this earth. Remember too, when the Lord Jesus was here during his earthly ministry, he prayed for peace. John 17, what we describe as his great high priestly prayer. He prayed that all might be one, praying especially for peace among the people of God. On Calvary's cross, he paid for peace, peace through the blood of his cross. What a price! What a price that was paid to purchase peace for you and for me. And remember too that when he ascended back to heaven, that he left a legacy of peace. He said in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." So I want to emphasize to you, men and women, that you can have peace tonight, and you can have peace through Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can give you that peace. Jesus Christ, men and women, alone can give to you the gift and the blessing of peace in your heart. So that's why we preach Christ. That's the reason why we seek to make so much of him. And we want you to know he can give you that peace tonight. Just think of that. If you've been longing, looking for peace, well, your search can end. And your search can end in this meeting. Your search can end this very night, this very moment, before you go from this service. When Paul was writing to the Romans, he said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." What that means is this. If you trust Christ, if you come to him, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you put your trust in his sacrifice, the finished work of Calvary, then one of the things that he will do for you is he will give you peace. It's just as clear. It's as simple as that, men and women. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember the Savior on the Sea of Galilee? Remember, there was a great storm, and the Lord Jesus arose. The disciples woke him. He was sleeping on the pillow in the hinder part of the vessel. And he stood up that day, and he said, "Peace, be still." And there was a great calm. The waves, they settled down, disappeared. The storm, the wind, it vanished out of sight. And men and women, I want you to know tonight, if you pray to him like the disciples, remember they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" If you pray to him about the storm in your life, then he will do the same. He will speak the word. He will give the command. He will say those same words, "Peace, be still." And there will be a great calm in your life, a great peace in your heart. So peace at Christmas. We pray, men and women, for peace upon this earth. We are to pray to that end. I encourage you to read Mr. Spurgeon's message in the Czech Book of Faith on Friday past. It was based on those words in Isaiah 2, verse 4. He talks a little about war and about the weapons of war been turned into agricultural instruments, as we emphasized just a little earlier. He urged the Lord's peoples to pray for peace upon this earth. Take that burden upon your heart tonight. take a little time to read that message. I'll put it up on the church Facebook page just a little later for you. Peace at Christmas. Pray it'll take place across the earth. But peace in your heart this Christmas time. You can have it, men and women, young people. You can have peace this Christmas. You can have peace this very night if you will only receive him, if you'll only trust him, trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It's our prayer that this will be the night. This will be the night of your salvation. That this night, if you're not truly saved before you go from the house of God, that you'll come to Christ, receive him, and experience that perfect peace, that peace of God that passeth all understanding. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. May the Lord be pleased to write his word upon every heart this evening. Number 84 is our closing hymn. Jesus, my Saviour, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful, blessed be his name, seeking for me, Number 84, we're singing the first three verses, and we're going to stand together as we sing, please. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the gospel message of God's redeeming grace. We thank you for all the blessings of the gospel that flow to those that receive Christ as their Savior. We think, Father, of this troubled world in which we're found, and we think of so many that are troubled all around us, and we want to pray, Father, that you'll bless the proclamation of the gospel in this meeting and bless it across our province, in every place where the gospel is freely and faithfully proclaimed.
We want to ask, Father, that there will be peace in this world at this Christmas time. May we see the intervention of God. We want to pray for the Jewish people too. We think of that veil upon their hearts. Take away the blindness, the darkness. We pray, Father, that many of those Jewish people will be brought to Christ and salvation. We pray the prayer of the apostle. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And Lord, we ask thee, bless the message that has gone forth tonight. And those that are troubled, those that are perplexed, those of that emptiness, that void in their heart and life. Our prayer, Father, is that you will bring them to Christ. May they experience the peace that he purchased through the blood of his cross. Answer these our cries, and we give ourselves, Father, into your hands and keeping for the week that is ahead. Bless us and use us to your glory. And we pray tonight that you'll spread your covering wings around until all our wanderings cease, and until at our Father's loved abode, our souls arrive in peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.